Maria exploded 2 days before she arrived in Puerto Rico. Over the course of just 24 hours, her winds doubled in speed from 80 to 160 miles per hour. The next day, she ripped through the island of Dominica as a Category 5 hurricane, the first on record to do so. She weakened a little as she ripped the roofs of almost every building, tore out almost every electrical and telephone pole, stripped the leaf off almost every tree, crushed the banana crops, and killed the livestock. No one was spared, not even the island's prime minister, Roosevelt Skerrit. "My roof is gone. I am at the complete mercy of the hurricane. House is flooding," he posted on Facebook, just before he was rescued from his official residence. Shortly before sunrise the next day, Maria landed as a Category 4 hurricane on the southeast coast of Puerto Rico. Her center was 50 to 60 miles across, or about half the length of the main island, and her winds blew as fast as 155 miles per hour. She slashed and tore westward on a diagonal path across the beaches and mountains, the villages and the cities, the farms and the luxury apartments. Maria took her time in devastating anything exposed to the elements, lumbering along at just 10 miles an hour. She snapped apart huge wind turbines, plucked up the electric grid, and tossed aside solar panels. She silenced the cell phone towers, uprooted the old telephone poles, and flicked over weather radar and satellite dishes. She clawed out of the forests on the hillsides and left only the naked trunks of the trees she spared. She heaved the sea into low-lying homes and forced high, raging floods through mountain ravines. She destroyed the coffee farms, decimated the dairy herds, and demolished the greenhouses. She darkened the hospitals and soaked the wards with rainwater. What her sister Irma had weakened with a glancing blow, less than 2 weeks earlier, Maria finished off with a direct hit. For the next 2 days, stunned Puerto Ricans struggled to survive the onslaught of catastrophic rain and flooding. They rescued their neighbors and gathered together their food and clean water. They began to dig their way out, heaping household debris into piles on the streets, cutting paths through fallen trees to open roads and driveways, carefully treading around or moving the wires and cables that now lay on the ground. As they began to clear out, the morgues began to fill up. At first, the bodies were those of the direct victims of the winds and floods. But soon, with most of the hospitals dark and damp, they were of the elderly and the sick who died at home, or in senior homes, or at the stricken medical centers. News organizations estimated the number of dead at more than 1,000, but nobody knew for sure. At the Institute of Forensic Sciences in San Juan, they would need 11 refrigerator trailers to halt all the bodies. The day after Maria, Donald Trump was under no illusion how catastrophic the damage was. "Puerto Rico was absolutely obliterated," he told reporters after a meeting at the United Nations. "Puerto Rico got hit with winds. They say they have never seen winds like this anywhere. It got hit as a 5, Category 5 storm, which just literally never happens. So Puerto Rico is in very, very, very tough shape. Their electrical grid is destroyed. It wasn't in good shape to start off with, but their electrical grid is totally destroyed, and so many other things. So we are starting the process now and will work with the governor and the people of Puerto Rico. So Puerto Rico will start the process. We're going to start it with great gusto, but it is in very, very, very perilous shape," he concluded. "Very sad what happened to Puerto Rico.